Jim Corbin now standing by, not with the latest updates on the weather forecast, but live in studio. Good morning, Jim.
Morning. A little out of breath. I came running in here to try to beat the commercials. Got caught behind a bus, the proverbial bus on near Richardson Avenue. So,
right near 123.
Then the stretch through, actually part of it through Norton. And so I'm like, I don't think I'm going to make it at 8:05. So, but I ran in here.
It's okay.
No, I know. But
but you're here, though.
Allegedly, I'm here. Yes, no.
Yes, you're live. You're live in studio.
Live in living color.
And our monthly guests are here. Our monthly show again. So, how are you? How you doing?
All right.
Doing okay?
Yeah. Yep.
Need to take a break.
No, I'm fine. But I literally ran in just as I was like, I'm going to see if I can make it before the. It's only like 200-foot run, but yeah. But no, I'm fine. Nice clouds out there coming in. We have some blue skies starting to show, and that's pretty much the way it's going to be really through the weekend. So, but yeah, things are going okay. We've got some great situations with people. A lot of people telling me and others that so far this winter has been a real nice one.
Right.
And so, and then others are going completely the other way. It's one or the other really with a lot of people this winter. And it's, so there's almost no one in between. It's either, as I talked about recently with you, maybe I think even yesterday, about the ice, people that like to go out on the ice and not just skate, but ice fishermen and stuff like that. There's no ice anywhere. I mean, So it's not even like unsafe ice, which in some cases is probably good because it means no one's going to go out on the water.
Right.
And then in the other case, of course, some of the ski areas, of course, they can make snow. Even Yagu Valley in Exeter, right. Rhode Island, they can make snow. But even they have not really been able to make snow because the temperature hasn't gone below freezing. The ski areas are not doing too well. The bigger ones that were able to make snow earlier in the season, like Wachusett and stuff like that. But it's been for sledding, some of the hills, the notable hills around the area, some of the golf courses a lot of times have little hills where the kids can, toboggan and stuff. Those are dead. So it's kind of a dud for now. Obviously, you have indoor sports like basketball and hockey in the winter. But in terms of enjoying the outdoors, this has been so far. I mean, we've had snow on the ground for a total of about 4 or 5 days this entire winter so far, and here we are almost into February. As I've said before, I came up with a thing years ago. I did a paper on it, Snow Depth Days. And what that is the total number, you add up the total inches of snow each day, cumulative at the same time each day. So if you have 5 inches on the ground one day, then you have, say it snowed 2 inches and there's 7 now on the ground, now you're up to 12 and so on. And then you might get a melt down to 1 inch 2 days later and you only add one. And so the higher that total, the more snowbound you are. And what that tells you is you can have, and again, think about it, and a lot of people, it's actually, if you go online or Google My Name, you'll find Snow Depth Days, a few things in. But the point being, it's a lot of people now keep that, in not just the snowfall totals for the year, but how snowbound you are. And I'm bringing this up just because of what I just was saying, how there's no snow on the ground. You might remember that, we could have two blockbuster storms, say 2 feet, and that'll total 48 inches. The Attleboro area averages about 40 inches of snow a year, okay? Hillier terrain up in Cumberland a little more. The lower elevations down towards Fall River, it's more like 37, 38 inches. So if you think the average is 40, you could have two big snowstorms in a season. Say they're both 20 inches, 40, and no other snow, and that snowfall was average. And you say, okay, that's an average snowfall. But you can also have a situation where you have those two storms, and then two or 3 days later, a big thaw hits, and the snow is gone. And so, say the first one was in December, and the second one was in March, and all in between, there was no snow on the ground. That's a classic example of not being snowbound, even though you had normal snow. Whereas other winters, you could have 10 different 3-4 inch snowfalls with very little melting. It's a cold winter, and the snow is on the ground most of the winter, and yet you still had just 40 inches. Say you had 10 4-inch snowfalls. Right. And so some people, that has an effect. I mean, you can have that first winter example, The kids weren't able to do much snow, you know, on the any playing in the snow, making snowmen. Yet it had 40 inches, two times of 20. Now, that almost would never happen. You'd usually at least have something, a couple in between. But that's an example, whereas that other winter, the second one I just said, which is right now the complete opposite of what we're having now, is where you have a snowfall and a little bit in December, 2 or 3 inches here. You might get a little melting, then 3 inches. But the snow is on the ground most of the winter, yet the same snowfall fell. So the point I'm making is that so far this has been, we had that, it was about 3 inches back in December, and then we had the one, a couple dustings here and there, so that added about another inch, four, and then the one we had where you thought in Attleboro, you estimated what, the last one we had on the weekend?
Yeah.
About 10 inches maybe?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
So we've had about 15 inches of snow this season, which is below average by a few. But not much below a few. It's because we had that one 10-inch snow, mm-hmm. and then we had the four, and a total of about one with the dustings. So, again, it's been, you know, an average, slightly below average season, because we're right now, as a matter of fact, I didn't even think of this. I've mentioned this to you before. The coldest time of the year is usually the 22nd of January, the pit, as right. I say. The peak of the snow season is around the last couple of days of January. So we're now just coming up on just half of the season. So we should have had, by the next couple of days, about 20 inches of snow, and we've had about 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. So you say, okay, well, just below average, but it's not way below. But the point being, though, we've had very little of this, as I call them, snow depth days, where we've had, I think, a total of maybe a total of 20 depth days, which is, again, and to make it a little simpler, we've had snow on the ground maybe for only like 4 or 5 days. And at that, you know, not a ton. So, again, as usual, I'm rambling, but it's really a way to describe this winter, not just the fact that we've had a lot of above freezing temperatures even at night, so there's no ice and snow essentially, especially in the last couple of weeks, but we have not had the snowfall and the snow staying on the ground for a while like we did have, especially the second half of that winter 2 years ago.
No. Yeah, and of course around the area now, if you know, if people do still want to get some skating done.
You got to do it at the downtown Providence,
yeah,
or in the New England
Sports Village here in Attleboro, which I drove by there yesterday. Quite a number of cars there in the parking lot.
Not a surprise, yeah. Right? Because if you can't do it on ponds, the only place really to be able to do it now is indoors, which is great because it means great for that for the new facility. So that's good to see.
Yeah, I think a lot of the people who in our area who know now that it is finally opened, you know, yeah. for business, getting you know their indoor skating done, which is nice. You know, right on Commerce Way, also right next to all some brand new condos that are open now as well. But somebody was mentioned to me yet the other day and said they had gone to the New England Sports Village for the very first time, and they were very impressed with it. You know, they were very impressed with it, saying they got some skating done with their brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. They went there one of the days that they had the open skating too long ago, and they said there were quite a number of people. There were some adults, of course, there as well, And of course, as you know, some of the hockey games that we cover here are there now as well. So it's nice to see that finally that building is doing quite well. Everything is running.
And there's facilities in that area for other sports as well, right? Other indoor sports.
Yeah, they're going to be putting fields there. They're going to be doing, I mean, you name it. They're going to be doing everything. There's so much to be done in that area that, you know, it probably will be, everything completed, you know, it's going to take a while, but at least, you know, things are looking up over there, which is nice.
Yeah, it's good to see that, and again, right now, the ability to go in there and do some skating because of the way the weather has been outdoors lately, you know, so it's a good thing to see.
You know, as we get, you know, this year so far, as we started this a few weeks ago, has been up and down. We've had some cold temperatures. We've had some snow. We've had quite a bit of rain this past week, and some, you know. So it's kind of been a roller coaster. Now, as we get into February, as you said, we could get the same, or we could get worse, or we could be kind of quiet.
It's been all kinds of things. Now we're in a pattern recently, last few days, and then going into the next few days, of not a lot of wild changes in temperature. The gradual trend is towards be colder, but we're not in that pattern where we were snowing one day and the next day it got up to 55 or 60 degrees, like that was the case when we had that first snowfall in December, where the next day almost all the snow was gone. It's like if you didn't look out your window and you have, oh, nice snowfall out there, and then you stayed inside and woke up the next morning and it was almost gone. It's like that's the way it was then. We're sliding now into a pattern of, at least through the first few days of February, where we're going to be near or slightly below average, but with a lot of breeze, so it'll be a little chilly during the day, but the night times will not go that cold, maybe low 20s, which is still above average. As we always talk about, the coldest weather, the coldest nighttime temperatures you get in the winter, is the setup is you have a snow cover and you have clear skies and you have light winds. Now, you could have wind chills that feel colder if it's a windy night, but we will not have that. We're going to still have some occasional cloud cover at night. So while it gets to maybe just a bit above freezing during the day, right through really most of even next week, it's only going to drop maybe to 20, 25 in the early morning. And that is something that is still not going to make a lot of like heavy ice. And of course, if we don't have the storm track, as I talked about earlier, and I might as well just mention it now, our next chance of snow, now there might be a flurry or two even this afternoon or tomorrow out of some of those dark bottom clouds, but Monday would be our next chance of a little snow, most likely, as I said earlier, it's going to go out to sea south of us, and so we just stay fairly seasonably cold and mainly dry. So there we go. Still no snow to whiten the ground. Our next chance that might be a little better would be Wednesday. And that one would be, again, just marginal in terms of cold, but probably just cold enough that it would be snow. So that maybe by Wednesday afternoon or Thursday morning, we might wake up to maybe a coating of snow on the ground, which at least will make it look wintry again. Yeah. Of course, timing is everything. We don't like to get snowfalls during weekday commutes. And so far, we've actually been lucky with that. That one that we had, the first one in December, was, I think, on a weekend. And the second big one, not the big one, but the one we had on a Saturday 2 or 3 weeks ago, was on a Saturday. So it wasn't as bad as it could be. So we'll try to time it out. Now, the big story could be, as I've also mentioned to you and others, is the following weekend, which is the Super Bowl weekend, which is next weekend, not this upcoming weekend. February 5th, of course, is the Super Bowl. Hopefully the Patriots will have a big win there. But also, there could be as early as around late afternoon or evening on the 5th a possibility of a snow event. And I just, before I left Mansfield, just checked the watch that one of the models that I like to look at. The jet stream is aligned a little better now for possibly a snow event. It could be a cold rain event too, but a storm around the Super Bowl here in the Attleboro area, Providence, into possibly the 6th. And of course, the 6th is the famous date of the Blizzard of 78. Now, that doesn't really mean anything, but it's not surprising that we're now in the heart of the snow season to see more threats possibly down the road. But right now, again, our next chance of possibly a significant snow event would be either the 5th around the Super Bowl. And again, I bring that up too because a lot of people be traveling, going over to out to watch it at pubs and going to people's houses and having parties and things. There is some chance of some bad weather around the Super Bowl. And I say bad for mainly travel.
All right. Sounds good. We got Jim Corbin live in studio once again for us. And also with us, phone lines, I believe. Yes, I believe we have, excuse me, we've got Gina Brown standing by with the latest conditions on the traffic out there. Gina? Well, she was there. All right. All right. Now we've got Gina. Oh, we had Gina there a minute ago. All right. Nope, not there now. And let's see if Gina's on that line. Nope, she's not there. She waited too long. Here she comes. All right. Now we've got Gina Brown standing by with a live update once again on the traffic. Gina?
Good morning again. It's looking good on the main thoroughfares around Attleboro County at Thatcher's about the busiest right now. Nothing unusual in Kelly Boulevard. Busy up by 106, but not unusually heavy, nor is it on Route 1. Just busy in Walpole and Norwood, also in Wrentham. Now we're looking at some heavy traffic into downtown Providence, but not stop and go, and we're improving rapidly. A few brake lights coming down around Lonsdale Avenue. 610 connector, full from around Adwells Avenue. There is a crash on 185 westbound, so plan for a little extra time if you're going to be over there in the next 10 minutes or so. 185 west, certainly going to be a little bit on the heavy side approaching the Washington Bridge. There's a crash before the bridge. We're backed up to Pawtucket Avenue. Not a bad backup given where it is, but light volume is our friend this morning. 495 is quiet. Things have finally cleared up. 128 over at 93 and 24. We had lots of problems getting out of the Braintree area and into Randolph this morning. It's all cleared up mostly. The accidents are gone and the lingering delays are thinning out rapidly. 95 from the state line is quiet all the way up through Sharon. Heavy in Canton. 495 is fine from the Mass Pike to Wareham. And no problems at the South Coast. Have a little construction delay, but things are looking a little bit better in South Dennis. Heading over into Pleasant Lake, we've got some slow traffic, maybe about three-quarters of a mile of backup on Mid-Cabe Highway as you try to make your approach. It looks like in between exits 9 and 10. Next report coming up. I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
All right, Gina. Thanks once again. We'll have one more update coming up in about 10 to 15 minutes. Meteorologist Jim Corbin back with us in studio this morning. As we get into the rest of today and the weekend, how are we looking now with the weather?
Yeah, it looks pretty much what we have today is the way it's going to be, with a little bit more in the way of sun on Saturday and Sunday. So, again, no significant, no extremes. I mean, if you want to call it, the only extreme we've had so far this winter was that one really cold morning where it was down, you might remember, almost a zero. Some places were below. That's when we had light winds and clear skies. And even the storm, and then the other extreme was the nor'easter that with no snow, which is another indicator of this winter. That heavy rain and high winds we had the other day with the cold, rotten temperatures. Normally, with a northeast wind, you get some snow, even here in southeastern Mass and Rhode Island. We didn't. But that still was a rough storm. Right. So really, the only two real events we've had was that snowfall on that Saturday, coming up 3 weeks ago, and then this nor'easter with no snow the other day, and then that cold morning back in December, and that's it. I mean, we've had no significant events. I mean, we've had three of them, but even they aren't too bad, and I don't see anything significant right through most of next week.
Oh, that's good. I think we do have a caller on the line. Are you there? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Dominic.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Two questions for Jim.
Yeah, go ahead. Yep.
Jim, can you push the snow for the 6th and not the 5th, because I would have to work if it snowed?
Yeah, that could be an issue. Of course, the 5th is a Sunday, and the 6th is a Monday. So we'll try to – it's still obviously, well, 10 days out, but it looks like we have
– work that crystal ball.
I'll try. I will try.
My second question – how's the drought doing with all the rain we've been getting? Is it getting better or mediocre?
Mediocre, but it is certainly better than it was. And that's why we all should really be rooting for, whether it's rain, sleet, or snow, or grapple like we had in a few places yesterday. No, but it's getting better, but we're still in a drought. Now, you don't hear about it much because in the wintertime we don't use much water. So, and you don't, you know, people aren't in their pools and using water. So it's sort of disguised. It's sort of still lurking in the weeds. Now, if we don't get a lot of rain or snow over the next couple of months as we get into the spring, then we'll be back into it and people will be talking about it again. So to answer your question, we're still in it, but it is getting better. And it can, again, if we can get more of these precipitation events, that would be better as well.
Oh, great. All right, thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Okay, thanks again. All right, one of our other callers that we usually get that gentleman on the air with us every once in a while. Yep. Nice to hear him. As we come across within the next little over a week, as you said, February 6th, we talked about this the other day, 1978, the blizzard anniversary once again. We're not looking at 20, 30 feet of snow or whatever they're going to get, whatever, 20 inches, I should say.
What I think typically happens, I've said this before to you and others, you get these winters that are sort of bell curves where it starts out slow, it ramps up in the right around now in February, and then it starts to gradually drop off in March. Or you can get the bookend winters where you start with a ton of snow in December, and then you get into January, and you have January thaws, and you don't have much into February. And then you say, all right, we're free and clear now, and then you get a blockbuster in March. Mm-hmm. So that's the bookend type of winter. And then you have the other winters that are just kind of steadily going through back and forth. Those are, in terms of snowfall, yeah, those are the three I like to call it: the bookend, the bell curve, where it's peaking as it normally does or average wise, and then you get the ones where it's just up and down. Every you get a snow event and it rains, it's like it's kind of the same all winter, but not a lot. And that's right now, I think overall we're in a sort of a halfway between the bookend winter and the one we have a little bit here and there every few days. We're not certainly in the bell curve winter so far. Here we are right around the midpoint of our snowfall season, and there's bare ground everywhere. Even basically all the piles in the parking lots are now gone. So it certainly can feel like winter, but it certainly, if you looked out the window, if you would just look, here's a fun way to do it. I have these fun little tidbits. If you were to look out the window today, out your backyard, and you did not have a thermometer anywhere, you would look out and you could easily say, it looks like it's November. It looks like it could be it could be almost any month. Again, if you just woke up out of a thing, you didn't know what the calendar, what date it was. It looks now like it does in November, December, January, February, March, even April. You could look out today, say, is today April 27th? Because we don't have any leaves on the trees, and there's nothing to show that it's winter, you know? And I think you're agreeing. The other joke thing I have, if you woke up out of the blue and you didn't know what time of year it was, well, the easy way to do it is to turn on your tap water, let it run for about 20 seconds, and if it feels really cold, you'll know that it's in the cold season. If you turn the tap water on, the same one, at another time, and it's lukewarm, then you know that's probably we're now in the summertime. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, these are just joke fun things that I like to bring up. But again, right now, you could look out your window, have it with no idea what month it is, and it could be anywhere from about mid-November, when almost all the leaves are off the trees, to about mid-April, I will call it. And the only difference would be the angle of the sun. But if you did it right, say, at sunset or sunrise, and you didn't know what time it is either, it looks the same. It reminds me in some ways of being down in South Florida where my mother lived, and also one of my brothers, where it's kind of down. I don't know if I could ever live there, because it looks the same all year round. Yeah, there are subtle differences with flowers and plants and bushes, but overall, and we're kind of in this right now where it's kind of just, it's almost back to like to my dreaded month, November, and even portions of December. But the good thing is, we all know the days are getting longer now, and some of the afternoons now are brighter. So that's the good psychological thing that we can take in.
That's for sure. Yeah. All right, Jim Corbin, live in studio with us. I believe we do have another call. If you've got a call, you want to talk to Jim Corbin, just give us a call here at 508-222-1320. You're next on the air. Good morning.
Good morning, Dominic.
Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Good, you?
Very good.
I'm glad that you enjoyed your birthday yesterday.
Yes, I did.
You deserve it.
I sure did, and I want to thank you for your greeting as well.
Not a problem. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, Dan.
How you doing?
Oh, pretty good, thanks.
I got a question. You know, there's been some controversy, and they've had it in the paper about the daylight savings, you know, far as where they're going to put it, keep it, you know, switch it back. What's your feelings on it?
I've talked about this over the years. I can go back and forth on it. There are positives about everything. We got to remember, when we do daylight savings, or when we set the clocks back to standard time, we're not changing the amount of daylight we have. We're just rearranging the time. So what I've thought of, I wouldn't mind keeping daylight savings all year long, except that the big issue always comes up with the kids going to school in the morning and it being too dark. But there are various ways you can change it. The bottom line is the daylight savings issue is big, especially if you can change the time you do things. So in other words, people say, well, if we have daylight savings, now think about this, Dan. If we kept daylight savings all year long, okay, we would have, and everything else was the same. In other words, when you wake up and go to work at, say, 8 o'clock or whatever, you would be going to, everything would be done an hour later. But so right now, for example, our sunrise is about 7 o'clock. If we had daylight savings going, our sunrise would be at 8 o'clock. But we also would have the sun setting now a little before 5, the sun would set a little before 6, and most people, if the time of their job, I say an 8 to 5 job, they'd be going home in the light still, whereas most people are still going home in the dark, or at least partial darkness. So there are issues with that. In other words, if we could probably get away with daylight savings not being around all year and just keep standard time, just adjust, adjust the times that that jobs are being attended to. So when you think about it, maybe in the wintertime, have a company run from 8 to 6, whereas in the summertime, and this is with still standard time in the summertime, not fiddling around with the clocks, and then in the summertime, go to work, have a job that starts at 6 a.m. to, say, 4 p.m., and you still get to enjoy the light. In other words, don't rearrange the clocks, rearrange the times that things happen in your business or whatever you do. You say, oh, I'm not going to go to work at 6 o'clock in the morning. Well, yes, because if you just change the time, the light will still be the same. You haven't adjusted anything, and you'll just adjust.
30 Memorial Hospital.
Okay, anyway, very quickly, but anyway, as usual, Dan, I'm long-winded, but there's a possibility you could just change the time you do everything and just never adjust the clocks throughout the year. Does that make sense?
No, yeah, no, that's a good idea, because I know there was controversy about it, especially, too, about with sports and children, you know, far as losing that daylight later in the day, you know?
If we just kept the clocks at the same, never adjusted them through the year, just change the time that, say, a sporting event is going to take place.
Right.
And
right.
So if it's whether it's in the early morning, if it's an early morning event, or if it's a late afternoon or evening event, because we're never going to change the length of day.
Right.
So when you think about it, I mean, you know, whether it's early or late, the sun is always going to be, in other words, the daylight in the wintertime bottoms out a little above 9 hours, where it's a little over 15 hours in the summertime. So there's really the changing of the clocks, I think, it's a good thing if you want to just keep it that way for nice summer evenings where the sun is out until 8:30. The sun would only be out until 7:30 if we didn't have daylight savings. But you can also just keep the clocks the same, never change it, but just change throughout the year the times that events take place, like a sporting event or the time, a church, the time of going to mass or anything like that. So that is my feelings on that. As always, a long-winded one, but anyway.
No, not a problem. And what have we gained so far as daylight now?
I believe we're coming up on about an hour and a half of daylight now.
Okay, yeah, because even my friend Tom, of course, we both get up early, and like he said, wow, he's noticed what a difference, you know, and of course, at the end of the day, his day is a little bit longer, so at least now he's not coming home in the dark, you know?
Yep, that's it. Whether we change the clock back or had it daylight savings, it still is 9 hours, a little over 9 hours in late December, and here we are a month later, and we're well into the 10-hour days.
Right.
So that makes a difference.
Yeah, well, like he said, he doesn't mind getting up going in the dark. He likes to be able to come home, you know, where it's still light out, and if, of course, he can take advantage to do a few things, and it's not pitch dark out, you know?
And if we kept daylight savings all year long, this time of the year, he would be going home in the light.
Right.
Even in December, not be the sun shining, but at least there'll be enough daylight still visible. So that's the one good thing about keeping daylight savings year round.
Right.
You won't these late December and early January dark afternoons would be a little lighter.
And far as with the schools, I think it really would only mostly affect the high school students, correct? It really not
well,
as
again,
much.
Again, dependent on the times that they go. I mean,
right.
Again, I've always thought you can rearrange the time you do things. Now, again, what you want, it might have an effect on maybe other time zones and things like that, but for the most part, again, we can rearrange. In other words, if we kept daylight savings, here's the opposite of what I just said. If we kept daylight savings all year long, then this time of the year when we have these dark mornings, the sun is setting, sun is rising after 7 a.m., well, the sun would be rising after 8 a.m., and that would be an issue. So for maybe a month's period, then have the schools start at 9 a.m. and then go till 4 p.m. or whatever for a couple of months. That way the kids are still going to school with daylight savings an hour later, but it's brighter. So you can rearrange the time you do things.
Sure, sure. That's understandable. You know, no, I just figured I'd get your opinion because I know I've seen it in the news. I've seen it in the paper, and, you know, there's a lot of controversy back and forth of what should they do? Should they change it? Should they keep it? You know, what are they going to do, you know?
And it's originally been for saving energy. But, you know, again, think about it. If without moving the clock, you're going to do the same thing every day. It's just that with the change of the sun and whatever, the sunrise and sunset, the simple way to do it is to just adjust the time throughout the year that you go to bed, get up, and companies, I think, should change their times throughout the year. So let them change their clock times and let the rest of us just keep it the same.
And we've already adjusted this once before, too, right, a number of years ago, because it used to kind of fall, like, right at the end of, October. Now we pushed it to November, yeah. And it used to go till April, and now we're back into March, correct?
Yeah, so that means they wanted more daylight savings, more months of daylight savings.
So now, like you said, they could actually shorten, they could even shorten that up a little bit.
Well, they could make it even shorter. I would think they could maybe do it maybe a couple of weeks either side, even more daylight savings. And here's one that I've brought up over the years. How about setting the clocks for a couple of months 2 hours ahead? So we'd have, for say in June and July in the summertime, yeah, we'd have sunrises around 7 o'clock, but we'd have sunsets around 10 o'clock. Well, how about that?
Yeah, that would be, I wouldn't mind that at all.
That would be great, you know?
Yeah, yeah. All right then. Well, thank you for your opinion. Like I said, you know, I know with weather and all that, and, you know, situations that, you know, I wanted to get your opinion on that and see what you thought.
Well, thanks for calling, Dan.
All right. Hey, both you gentlemen, have a great day and enjoy your weekend. And once again, Dom, I'm glad you had a great birthday. You deserve it.
Thanks a lot. Thanks,
all
Dan.
Right, you take care now.
All right,
bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. Thanks, Dan. All right, we've got Jim Corbin live in studio with us. And at this time, we have Gina Brown standing by, as always, with our final update on the traffic. Gina?
And it's looking good. So 95 from the state line all the way up through Sharon. Not bad at all. Stop and go a little bit at the tail end there, getting out of Canton, about heading into that 95-93 split. Around town, looking good. South Main, County, and Thatcher, a little busy still, but not bad. Kelly Boulevard, still a little busy too, by 106. Getting into Providence, no problems on 95 South. 610 is eased up. Slow around Dean Street. Crash just clearing out 195 westbound before the Washington Bridge. We're backed up to the state line again. Also, 195 westbound by 13B. Looks like some state police activity with a vehicle. Don't see any delays there yet. 495 is quiet. Mid-Cape Highway looks good. We had some problems earlier in South Dennis with some roadwork delays. That seems to have thinned out too. And the Bourne Bridge looks good. The express lane bound to Boston, stop and go out of Quincy and heading into Dorchester. Next report coming up Monday morning. And I'm Gina Brown with your AM 1320 traffic.
All right, Gina, thanks once again. All right, we are going to take another quick break here. And in fact, it's our last break of the morning. Jim Corbin live in studio until 9 o'clock. And I know Paul Healy is got a guest on the phone lines at around 9:30. I'm not sure who that is going to be, but he'll join us in about 20 minutes in studio. We'll take a break here and be back on the other side with meteorologist Jim Corbin with us.
Does your back hurt after a long night's sleep? Has your mattress seen better days? Is your current bedroom furniture a mixture of different furniture sets? The Bedding Center, located on Pleasant Street and proud sponsor of this radio station and high school sports, offers a wide array of mattresses along with beds, bedroom furniture, and odd-sized mattresses and box springs. You can reach them online at bedding-center.com or by phone at 508-226-8090. This week on AACS 15, the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Memorial Committee of Greater Attleboro and the City of Attleboro present their annual municipal celebration of the Martin Luther King Jr. holiday. The event features a musical performance by the talented singers of the North Attleboro Middle School Chorus and speeches by local dignitaries. You can view the program on AACS Channel 15 or in HD on AACS.com or the AACS Roku and mobile apps.
The Benevolent and Protective Order of Elks has been part of the Attleboro area since 1906. They have always been involved in community service and charitable fundraising, giving back to our veterans, supporting our seniors, and providing youth enrichment opportunities, such as soccer and hoop shoots, fishing derbies, and dictionary projects, while also providing academic scholarships. The Elks are over 800 strong locally, and their members are their greatest asset. To learn more, you can go to attleboroelks.org. Remember, Elks care, Elks share.
This week on AACS Channel 15, the Attleboro Lady Bombardiers basketball team takes on the Franklin Lady Panthers. After starting off the season with 8 straight wins, the Lady Bombardiers lost their last 2 games against Mansfield and Oliver Ames. The Lady Bombardiers are looking to start another winning streak by defeating the Lady Panthers, who have won only 2 games this season. Visit AACS.com for a schedule of playing times on AACS 15. As always, you can view this and all AACS programming in HD on AACS.com or on our Roku and mobile apps.
Hi, I found a toy dinosaur over on the playground by Smith Street. It had this phone number on it, and, well, I just wanted to make sure the dinosaur made it back to its little owner.
When I found the little sippy cup, I just had to give you a call. It's for a kid, you know?
I know my son gets super attached to the smallest things, even a fire truck, and I'd be happy to drop it off.
We do anything for kids, yet 1 in 6 children in the U.S. struggle with hunger. Help end childhood hunger in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. Learn more at feedingamerica.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Finding a mechanic or automotive repair facility can be an arduous task. Questions like, am I being overcharged, or am I paying for work that doesn't need to be done, are valid concerns. Roberts Automotive understands this. That's why they abide by a code of ethics to help keep your mind at ease. When bringing your vehicle to Roberts Automotive, they'll explain how to correct existing problems and perform preventative maintenance. Most importantly, Roberts Automotive knows your vehicle is more than transportation. It's a lifeline to work, to school, for family. Roberts Automotive is located at 193 Pine Street in Attleboro. For more information and to view their code of ethics, you can visit their website at robertsautomotiveinc.net.
All right, 8:43 now on this Friday morning is here, folks. Friday, yes, 41 degrees, overcast skies. Jim Corbin live in studio with us right now. Of course, if you would like to get a comment in or two, I would love to hear from you right now at 508-222-1320, 508-222-1320. You'll be on the air tomorrow morning, I understand, as well. You'll be
with Elaine at about 7:35 is typically when I join her and Mike. And so that's the plan right now.
All right, so that's good. I know that, sometimes, you kind of, Dave Kane likes to bust you up a lot of times and say that that you don't go on his show a lot, but you've been a guest on his show for a while.
I have. I mean, I've been able to, be on his show in here live whenever I come in on a Saturday, typically. So, I've actually tried to ask him if he wants me to leave him a forecast like I do with you in case he wants to read my forecast during his show. But I was on his show about 3 weeks ago when he had that Meet Steve the Medium on.
Right, yeah.
So I got some. I was actually the last second able to tape it, but not the regular way. I had to stick another micro cassette next to the radio to do it. So the old, the low grade way, He will be on tomorrow, and Elaine LaRoche is scheduled to be live tomorrow morning as well.
That's good. Paul Healy in studio with us right now, and I got look at this. You got to watch out that mic. That microphone does not work correctly.
Yeah.
We noticed that.
A day late and a dollar short.
Yeah, well, that's
here are your Costa's cupcakes.
Thank you.
And here's what's left of 3 of Tom Rafferty's self-lighting candles. So we can light these again if we want to start another fire
We'll wait for it. We'll wait for Jim Jones to do it.
Okay. Let Jim light this.
So, thank you so much.
Ah, Dominic, what do you mean? Well, thank you.
My favorite cupcake. Hostess.
Hostess, yes.
It's funny. Yesterday, I forgot I was going to bring something like that with a candle.
Yeah.
I was going to bring a ringding. With a candle on it. And I forgot. So at least you.
Phantom Gourmet says that these cupcakes are the top of the food chain for cupcakes.
Absolutely.
The number one. None of this Little Debbie or other things. Hostess is the number one throughout the land.
Right.
Yes.
When it comes to peanut butter, it's Skippy. When it comes to cupcakes, it's Hostess. Mm-hmm. Life's very simple. Keep them out of the microwave.
Thank you so much.
By the way, my guest is at 11. I haven't opened my computer yet.
It's
11.
I thought it was at 9:30.
So did I.
All right.
But I checked last night. But we're going to talk about the evil drug companies.
All right. There goes Paul. So, Hostess cupcakes. You know when Hostess, they package them different now. They're about the same size. But, the funny thing is I was looking at them. I saw, them on television, on Phantom Gourmet last weekend. and how, you know, how much they have changed in size and packaging.
Oh,
when they used to put Yankee Doodles in a package of three, and now they, you get them in one, or you get them in two. But you used to get all of these. I remember Yodels used to come in two. Now you're lucky to get one.
They do it, but they do it over the years, and not just with cupcakes and things, but all kinds of packaging. That's what I was going to bring up. You know, I look at that, and I like those too. I don't even do often anymore, but Hostess cupcakes and, you know, whatever. But the packaging of these, I could almost be positive that those cupcakes, even though that they look like they've been packaged the same way with that brown plastic inside, I bet 30 years ago they were larger.
They were, yeah.
And remember, what do you call them? The long ones.
Devil dogs?
Devil dogs. Remember, you get devil dogs, the individual ones were, you know, maybe, you know, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 inches long. Now you get the ones that are like about 3 or 4 inches.
Yeah, exactly.
And from higher price. But they did it. They brought these things down slowly over the years. Uh-huh. I've noticed with peanut butter, all the regular size peanut butters you get, not the big ones, for years were 18 ounces. Now they've dropped to about 16.3. And I got one a few weeks ago, an off-brand that I don't usually buy, and I'm probably never going to get it again. It was 16 ounces.
Uh-huh.
It looks, but they subtly change it. They don't drop it by an ounce. Yeah, what's that one?
The one that Paul's got. This is a plastic jar that he has. It's called All Good or Al Good. This is a 16-ounce jar.
There you go, 16 ounces.
16 ounces.
Now, the 18 ounces, for years, used to look, you wouldn't really have noticed the difference.
Right.
It's just a subtle change that they do with these. So, so I hope you enjoy those cupcakes.
Yeah, I'm sure I will at some point. Yeah, you know, and you're talking about, I don't know how, I mean, I know how we got into this, but let me see, ice, let's see, what does it say? Ice chocolate cake with creamy filling, yep. And now, of course, now they have the calories, 320 calories. And but, you know, it going through all that stuff, and we're bringing that up because Paul Healy allegedly forgot my birthday yesterday, which, but no, I appreciate that, that's for sure. And let's see, like, expires January 2014. No, he found him in the back of his closet. Now,
it was in his trunk for years, and he brought it out.
They were in his garage where he couldn't open it up because of the snow. That's from a couple of years ago, from last year. But,
you know, even like cans, and I don't want to get into this really, but a quick thing about, again, like cans of tuna.
Yeah.
Remember how when you used to get tuna, they were standard, usually like 6, 7 ounces.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Now they're 5 ounces, the regular size, the size that you always saw.
Yes.
But they've subtly changed the size, brought it down to 5 ounces. Eventually, it's going to go down to nothing. You won't be able to see the can.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is now, if I'm having tuna, sometimes, you know, if I'm having a salad or something, my wife will make we'll get some salad and make them on a weekend so we can have it for the full week. We'll do the tuna that comes in the pouch, so you know you just put it on top of the salad, and then we'll have it, you know, like that. But you know, at this point, we're not draining the oil or whatever else.
Yeah, so
is
when,
inside
yeah, when you used
there.
To do drain it, you drain it out, and about half of the stuff is left.
Exactly.
In there, you know?
Like, my God, where did it all go? It's
and the thickness is same thing with cereals. Remember in the old days, the cereal boxes, they'd be about 2 or 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
The height might not be changed much. But now you get them in, and they look the same height, so you look like you're getting the same.
Yeah.
But they're narrower. And so unless you're someone who really looks at how many ounces I'm getting, you know, the Cheerios from 25 years ago box that still looks the same, except, oh, yeah, it is a little thinner. Are you getting less in the box?
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it's... stuff like that. It's all packaging and ways of being slightly deceitful. I mean, it's not the end of the world, but
no.
it's the way they package things, not just foods, but other things.
Well, it's like you talk about, you know, the cereal boxes. I remember as a kid using having the snack packs.
Oh yeah,
you know, and the combo pack, whatever they first come in. I don't know, like 4 of them, 6 of them, 12 of them, whatever it is. And you could get what you want, you know, and the Apple Jacks, the Sugar Smacks, and whatever.
You get like a variety pack.
Yeah, almost. The variety pack, yeah. And it was just enough that you could throw the milk in there. But if you put the milk in there and left it too long, it started to leak out of the packages.
Oh, yeah, that's
yeah, usually
bad.
As a kid, my sister and I used to have that, you know, when we were kids. And, you know, at some point, you know, if you you know, if you had to get it ready for school, you know, and then you kept your cereal on the table, about maybe 20 minutes later, I remember one time having whatever it was, I said, all of a sudden, my mom said to me, like, had a paper napkin or paper, you know, towel underneath it, but all of a sudden it started to leak. If you leave it there, man, it's going to start seeping into it.
Yeah, because was that made of like a cardboard?
Yeah, it was cardboard.
Like a cardboard, a thick cardboard.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
A smooth, not corrugated cardboard.
No,
but like, yeah.
No.
But, you know, yeah, after a while, yeah. Of course, now they have the ones with plastic.
Yes.
Where you have the little plastic ones that look like almost like cups, mm-hmm. where you can get for
right.
like a dollar.
Yeah.
But if you look at the unit price, you know, but it's more, that's more for the ease of, you know, a one serving kind
yeah.
of thing.
Yeah, I've seen that. They have that in the at the cafeteria at the casino, that, you know, for the
okay.
the employees, if they, you know, if they're there overnight or in the early morning, they have that. They want to, I've seen that little cup types of
yeah.
cereals
yeah.
as well like that. I mean, getting away from breakfast stuff and cupcakes, I don't know how we, I mean, I know Paul put that in together. We're coming down the line about 8 minutes before nine now. as we get into this next month of February, we could go anywhere. I mean, we could get some mild temperatures as well.
Yeah. This, when I mentioned this thing around the 5th or the 6th of February, and again, that's 10 days out roughly, so obviously the timing could be off, especially, as I always say, event forecasting. You know, say there's a four-hour time between 6 p.m. and 10 p.m., which is when you have to, when you're going to be maybe out at watching the Super Bowl or what have you. That's a four-hour window 10 days out.
Right.
So we could get precipitation before that or just after 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock at night or whatever it is. But after that event happens, it looks like something around the 10th of February, which would be, I believe, the Friday or Saturday following that. So, and that one could be snow. It still looks overall, beginning this weekend, that any precipitation event, if it happens, will be snow. Hmm. As I like to say, it's either snow or nothing. This is a snow or nothing type of pattern for the most part. The Wednesday events is a close call with maybe a little rain mixed in, but overall, events happening for the next week will be minor. So, again, as I say, you look out the window, it could easily be any month from November through March right now, even early April.
Yeah, exactly right. When you look at everything out there. And then the other thing is, this time is the year, you a lot of times, and depending on what year it is, or I mean, what month it is, of course, but now a time, of course, a lot of times people putting up seeds for birds all the time. I mean, you see tons of things out there, but you don't see as many now. But
well,
it's always a good time to do that.
Well, if there is a good thing about the winter right now is that the animals are able to get, you know, get food. When you have a lot of deep snow, things like that winter 2 years ago, the second half of that winter, a lot of the squirrels and things were having deer were having trouble getting their food, even off a bush. If a bush was heavily covered with snow, like a deer would have trouble getting any food off that bush, like berries and things like that, winter berries. So if there's a good thing about this winter at the moment, the animals are able to get food more than they normally would. Mm-hmm. I mean, normally they're able to, even when there's snow on the ground, obviously, because they still are living, mm-hmm. but it's an easier for them to get food now
right.
because of the lack of snow.
As we get into this month, of course. Now, as we got into, you know, as we started the year off, it wasn't as bitterly cold. I know going home on New Year's Eve, you know, going into New Year's Day from working at the casino overnight there until 1 o'clock. You said, yeah, there was going to be probably some light snow, and there was, so it was more wet weather out there. But I noticed a couple of days later, one gentleman who actually had to work until 5 a.m. the next morning, he had gotten home, lives in Foxborough, no problems at all. And then a couple of days later, he took off to go to New Hampshire and saw some nice snow up there, and then came went back up there. I think he went up there last weekend. Not much at all. Like, my wife and I went up to Maine and New Hampshire last weekend. Hardly anything, but there were a few piles still left.
Still around. Well, here's an example. Lake Winnipesaukee, which is a big winter, a big lake up there, obviously. Really, it's the biggest lake, in New Hampshire. It's the biggest lake in New Hampshire. But also, it's a lot of winter sports enthusiasts. Yeah. They like to do not just ice fishing, but ice sailing. I saw that webcam. Matter of fact, if you want to check it out, like, Google Lake Winnipesaukee live cams. There's almost no ice on Lake Winnipesaukee at the moment. You know, in the inlets, there's some patches of ice where the water doesn't move around much. But that's for them. There are some businesses up
there. You go. There's three. I don't know if that's that could be. Yeah, that I don't know if that's live. Pegasus Bay on Lake Winnipesaukee, which is up in Meredith, New Hampshire.
Yep.
That might be, but it looks like some snow cover right there. But
there are businesses that make their lives in the winter up there, not just obviously skiing, but doing things on the ice. And this year, snowmobiling. Some people like to go in the woods, but also they like to go out snowmobiling out on the ice.
There's a time lapse for that same camera with. I mean, it's not good for somebody listening on the air right now. But yeah,
if anyone's listening, though, they can.
They got some ice here, but then it is light right up on top here.
And you don't see any shacks out there for the ice fishermen.
Nope.
So again, there's another example of a lack of snow and ice being not a good thing. They like to pride themselves. They have a contest every year on Lake Winnipesaukee. How late the ice? Hmm. Take a guess at when the ice. They call it ice out.
Yeah.
And what was the other ponds and lakes around the country do that as well.
What was the other one? The other place up in northern Maine that we
Presque Isle.
Yeah, Presque Isle.
Yeah, check them out.
Yeah, Presque Isle.
Now, again, Maine. This is all we're talking this about a lack of snow and ice on the ground. You can have again.
There it is right there. Oh, that's a newer picture.
Which one is that? I can't see.
The one up on North Main Street in current picture. In fact, it doesn't tell you if.
Is there any snow around?
A little bit on the side right there. Let's see what it looks like on the
island. I mean, that's one of the snowiest places.
There's Island Falls at the shoreline. They've got it covered over there with.
But even there, I bet that ice is not. I bet most people up there don't dare go out on that ice.
No, I'm sure not. I'm sure.
Again, a lack of snowfall is good for many in the winter, people that don't like to drive in it, which is understandable, but it also can be a negative thing. But it's a positive thing for the new skating rink in Attleboro, where more people, sure, they still would have, but more people are in there because there's no ice around outside. So all kinds of businesses, it's all dependent. Same thing in the summertime. You can have all kinds of, differences depending on the weather. That's why the weather affects people in a good way or a bad way. That's why when I forecast rain on a summer day, on a weekend, it's like, oh, that's not good. But deep down, places like movie theaters and bowling alleys on a summer weekend are going to get a little more business because it's raining on a summer day.
Yeah, it really does. So, and of course, you'll be back on the air with us tomorrow morning for a bit with Elaine. You'll be back, of course, with us on Monday morning. Any big plans over the weekend for you?
Nothing much. I was thinking of heading up to Mount Wachusett, not necessarily to do skiing, but I just like that area of Princeton because just to see some snow. you go in the lodge.
Something.
Because they made snow, in the last couple of months. But